somewhere.
Hello and welcome to MTG Talk. I'm Foster.
I'm Snick, and we're going to be talking about things magic-y. Hey. Okay, so for our first thing, we're going to be playing the Snick game. Yeah, that's where every week I come up with some weird random game or thing to do with magic cards, either booster pack or, as we're doing this week, the random button on Gatherer! Yay!
I have a feeling I'm not going to like this.
Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to describe who I am, and you're going to have to guess what card I am.
Okay.
Okay, I'm a spirit with flying, and I have tap target attacking or blocking creature gets +1/+1 till end of turn. I'm a 1/1, and I cost 1 and a white.
What's that?
I'm from... I'm really bad with the old sets. So I'm the one with the two gears.
The Saga, I think? So I don't really know many cards.
All right.
Yeah, this game, not going to work out well if you go this old.
Okay, take a guess.
I have no idea.
All right.
I have no idea from that storyline whatsoever.
I'm Angelic Page.
Angelic Page? I think it was reprinted. Yeah, it's legal in Modern.
Yeah. That's the one it gave me.
Okay.
That's what you have to guess.
Well, I failed.
I'll try to find a newer one.
Oh, what, we're going to play again?
Oh, yeah, we're doing 5 cards.
Okay.
And we're going to see what your score is out of 5.
What my score is out of 5.
I have cycling for 2. I enter the battlefield tapped. And I tap to add a black mana to your mana pool. I am a land.
Oh, I figured that much out. Is it Baron Mar?
No.
I can picture the card.
I tap to add a black.
I just can't think of the name. I know the card.
Okay, do you want me to do card names for the next one? Do what the card name is? You have to guess what the rest of the card is?
Yeah, what card is this?
This is Polluted Mire.
Let's see it. Oh, this wasn't the one I was thinking of. What the hell's...
It said cycling for 2.
Oh! What set is it from?
It's another old one, but I figured I've seen this one before.
Did you see it in Legacy?
Or, no.
EDH?
Yeah.
Last time I played EDH was what, 2012?
I don't know.
Maybe 2014?
Alright, we're going to do another one. So I'm just going to give you a name.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to butcher this. El Hajjaj.
The Gatherer does not like me today.
So it's really old.
It really does not like me.
Yeah.
Do
you want a color?
It doesn't matter. I've never heard of it.
Do you want to see it? Have you given up?
I've given up.
Okay.
You gain 1 life for every point of... It's a 1-1 for 2 black mana.
3. There's a 1
oh,
there.
Oh, is there a 3?
There's a 1 in there.
Okay. Let's see if the Gatherer can give us something more recent. After Shards block, preferably?
Augur of Skulls.
Oh, God.
This one is more recent.
God. Can I see the picture if you cover the text? Oh, crap. Future Sight cards. I own this card, too. I don't know what it does. I'm 0 for 4.
Oh. So it's a Skeleton Wizard for 1 and a black. Regenerate. Sacrifice it. Target player discards 2 cards. Play this ability only during your upkeep. Alright.
Okay.
So last one. Okay. You should be able to figure this one out because you're a red player. Anger.
Well, this is the one that, if it's in the graveyard, it gives everything haste, right?
Yes.
It's a creature.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yes.
4 mana?
Yes.
Is it a 1/1?
No.
4/4?
Oh, that's way too good.
3/3? 2/2, it's a bear.
It's a 2/2, yes.
And it's haste.
Yeah.
And gives everything else haste if it's in the graveyard. Right?
If anger's in the graveyard and you control a mountain.
Oh, so you have to control a mountain.
Yeah. I'm going to give that one to you because you're really close.
Well, usually that. When I've played the card, I control a mountain.
True.
But... So 1/4 this week.
Yay! We might do this again some other time, but I have some other cool games we're going to...
Okay, what's next on the docket tonight?
Alrighty now.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty.
We have tournaments to talk about.
We have tournaments to talk about.
Yes. So, this one was the Invitational Qualifier of Star City Games.
What, is this last weekend?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah,
27-04-02.
Yeah.
Yep. So, looking at the top eight here.
Kiki Cord, Amulet Titan, Black Green Zoo, Ad Nauseam, Merfolk, Mono White, Martyr Proc, Green Red, Land Destruction, and Infect were the top eight.
Yay. We're going to butcher this name, but the person who took it all down was Mike Wakali. Do you think that's close?
Close enough.
Yeah, Mike Wakali.
If you're listening to this, Mike, let us know how to say your last name.
Yeah. Amulet Titan, I haven't seen that in a while, eh?
It's slowly coming back up, I think.
Yeah.
I see posts about it on Twitter.
Red Green Zoon, Ad Nauseam, Merfolk. I like seeing Merfolk in the top eight.
So do I. Love my Merfolk.
Land Destruction.
I'm not interested in this. Oh, God.
Oh. I just want to know what type of person would play Land Destruction.
Well, we know what type of person would play Land Destruction. And it's basically the stack that we see.
Yeah.
Armor Elf, Birds, Inferno Titan, Obstinate Baloth, Stormbreath Dragon, Thragtusk, Courser Crucifix, Thrun the Last Troll, Chandra the Tortured Defiant, Four Blood Moon, Utopia Sprawl, Two Beasts Within, Bonfire of the Damned, Manuvial Acid Moss, Primal Command, and Stone Rain.
Manuvial Acid Moss, it costs green 2. Sorcery, destroy your target land, search your library for a forest card, put into play tapped, and shuffle your library. Seems like not half bad of a land destruction card. But, you know, only jerks play land destruction.
I want to see the infect list.
You want to see the infect list? Okay, we'll take a look at the infect list.
Since Cataclysm Probe's banning, seeing infects make top 8 intrigues me. Running the 14 creatures it was running before, 19 land. See, it's running 2 rare.
Was it running the Viridian Corruptor before?
I was.
You were?
Yeah.
I don't think all decklists were, though.
Not all. They started adopting it just because of affinity.
What did they...
Rancor.
Rancor? But it only replaces 2 of them. Dismember, was that main board before?
Yeah. Groundswell.
Groundswell was not in the deck before?
Groundswell wasn't in the deck at all before. This one's more streamlined into the infect combo. I've seen lists that are running Spell Pierce, main board.
Honestly, they shouldn't have taken away Probe. If anything, the last banning, when they banned it, they should have taken away Ink Moth Nexus, because that hurts Affinity and Infect, which were two of the boogeymen of the format then.
Well, isn't it obvious? Wizards is just in love with the Affinity deck. They've let it live this long after axing it in its standard format, scaring away players. They're just letting artifacts rule right now. It's going to get hit soon.
I hope so.
What is this? Oh, it's not even Soul Sister. This is Martyr of Sands dot deck.
Okay. I guess that's a thing. Okay. Oh, look at that. 6 Snowclover Plains. Obviously, you make top 8.
Oh, great. Now Snowclover Plains are going to go up in price. They need to reprint Snowcovered Plains.
They need to do Snowcovered Full Arts.
Well, that'd be too good. Kiki Cord, everyone knows how to play that.
Yeah.
Nothing really crazy here.
Amulet Titan, I'm actually kind of interested in what's actually in this deck list. Well, we know Primeval Titan, obviously.
Azusa.
Secure Tribe Elder. Sky Shroud Ranger.
Dragon Lord Dromoka.
That's interesting.
What was the card that was banned from this deck?
Oh. Blue. Was it Bloom?
Bloom.
Yeah.
Used to be Amulet Bloom.
Yeah. Hive Mind's still there.
The packs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically the same thing, I think. Yeah, it's just slower because you have to continuously bounce your lands anyway.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's
move on.
Well,
the format's also slower now.
Really? Still with Affinity?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's still a slower format.
Alright, well, let's take a look at our GP.
GP.
Yeah.
Okay, so
The winning team consisted of Blue White Control, Jund, and Affinity.
Yes.
The second place team, Grixis Control, Eldrazi Tron, Abzan Death Shadow.
Alright. And we're going to have to move over to the second page. So the third place team had Madcap Moon, Coral Helm Combo, and as this screen loads, because I forgot this was two pages, Jund Death Shadow. And then the fourth place team had Jund Death Shadow, Coral Helm Combo, and Affinity. Alright.
Did you watch any of the GP?
No. I was working.
I watched the finals.
Okay. Was it good? Eh. Yeah.
It went from, I can't remember who won round the first match, and then it just went downhill for Owen, Huey, and Reed.
Question, because this was Team Unified, did you hit that point where it was only one match going left and everybody was standing around that table?
I think so.
Yeah? That's my favorite part about watching Team Unified on coverage, is just seeing the intensity of all the players, all the teammates hovered around. Alrighty. So, I don't think we really need to look at any of this, because it probably doesn't matter, because...
I'm interested in seeing the Eldrazi Tron deck.
Alright.
Because a lot of these decks don't have a lot of overlap, but the Grixis Control, Abzan, Death Shadow does. Locking Ballista. Yeah, this doesn't have any overlap with the other decks, so it was an easy call.
Yeah. Alrighty. So going to our next thing?
Sure.
Spoilers!
Well, do you want to talk about the new split card ruling?
Sure, if you want to.
Well, I found it interesting. They're changing the rules with the release of Almanket.
Okay.
So, starting with the release of Almanket, they're changing how split cards work. Like, the new ones with Aftermath, the Dragon's Maze ones with Fuse, the original ones that didn't have anything special with them, you could just cast one or the other, like Boom Bust. Now when they're not on the stack, their converted mana cost is equal to the combined mana costs.
Okay.
So it changes things like, you reveal a card off Dark Confidant.
Okay.
So, it used to, if you reveal, for some reason you're playing Wear and Tear with Dark Confidant.
Okay.
Let's say that.
So we're assuming that I'm playing Mardu?
Yes. And you would flip it, you would get only the wear damage. Take 2 points of damage.
Okay, so it's always the first, it used to be the first one?
Yeah, that's how the expertise read them. So that's how you could cascade off Bloodbraid Elf and a Boom Bust and use Boss and destroy all the lands.
Okay.
Clearing out all your opponent's lands and having a 3-2 Bloodbraid Elf in play.
Okay.
So now with Dark Confidant, you're going to lose 3 life. It changes things. Now the Kari Zev expertise won't let you cast Breaking and Entering or Beck and Call. Violent Outburst doesn't cascade into Boom Bust, like I just said with Bloodbraid Elf. Yeah, I don't know how I really feel about the changes. I know some people are upset about it. I never ever played a deck with any of these interactions.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on it.
Alright. So, spoiler time. Anything you want to cover?
The white-blue legendary creature?
Okay.
Temet, Visor of Naktamon. Naktamon?
I don't know. I guess so.
Yeah. It's white-blue legendary creature, human cleric. At the beginning of combat on your turn, target creature token you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn and can't be blocked this turn. For a 2/2 creature. Embalm for 3 in white blue. So you're going to exile and just create a token that's a copy of it. Except it's a white zombie human cleric with no mana cost. Embalm only as a sorcery.
Can it target itself when it's embalmed?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, it does.
Oh, wait. So this says your commander. You let it go to the graveyard the first time you embalm it, and when you exile it, goes to the command zone, do you think?
Yes.
That's sweet.
Mirror Gallery is now a thing. If you could just continuously keep killing Temet and embalming it,
okay,
you'll get an army of Temet tokens.
Except for they blow up.
Not with Mirror Gallery. The legend rule doesn't apply.
Okay.
It's a funny interaction and makes Mirror Gallery playable.
Well, I want to talk about the Blue God. Yes, there are gods in this set.
Oh, yeah. And I was almost right on predicting this card.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The activated ability?
Yeah.
I predicted how much it would cost.
Oh.
And I knew it would draw a card.
Cool. Anyway, Kenneth of the Careful. For 2 and a blue, legendary creature god, flying indestructible, Kenneth of the Careful can't attack or block unless you have 7 or more cards in hand. 3 and a blue, draw a card, then return a land you control to its owner's hand.
You may return a land you control to its owner's hand.
Oh. Oh, there it is.
That's the most exciting part about it. Do you want that land back? No? Okay. Does it let you have 7 cards in hand faster?
Yeah.
And now you have a 5-5 flying indestructible beater. It's good for versatility. Draws you a card early, and when you're ahead on everything else, you can start bouncing lands to keep your hand count at 7. To have a 5-5 flying blocker or attacker.
Yeah.
It's going in control decks.
Okay.
I'm looking for 4.
4?
I want 4.
I want 2.
I want 4 of them.
Why? At what point will you need to have multiples of these?
I want to make sure I'm drawing them.
You already draw enough in a control deck.
I want to make sure I'm drawing enough of them.
Okay, anything else interesting here for you?
The reprint?
What?
Essence Scatter.
The blue one?
Yeah, Essence Scatter's back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Counter target creature spell is back.
That's actually a lot better than Negate for limited.
Oh, yeah, that's playable. It's creature removal.
Yeah.
I'd play Essence Scatter over Negate and Limited every day.
We remember how we were playing Negates and Limited in the last format?
No.
No?
Which format? Kaladesh?
Yeah.
I don't remember playing Negates.
Oh. And I played at least one. When I was playing Blue, I played 1 or 2.
Oh, okay.
Because it counters vehicles.
Oh, yeah. That does that. I don't remember playing a lot of Blue. I think it was more in the vehicle strategy.
It was either... Yeah, it was Negate, I think. It was a counter-target non-creature spell. 90% sure it's Negate. Do we want to cover their artifacts?
I do want to, at some point, right before the pre-release, I want to do a full spoiler talk about everything.
Okay.
So we're just going to touch on the ones we liked, like Prowling Serpipard. Serpipard. Yeah. The 4/3 for 3 that can't be countered, and creature spells you control can't be countered. I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very good in multiple formats. I see it seeing play in Standard for sure, especially with Negate around. Sorry, Essence Scatter. It will see play in sideboards in Modern, and it's definitely seeing play in EDH.
You know what I like to do? They think they're clear when they have that, then they drop their creature, and I like to kill that and then counter their thing.
Oh, yeah. The butt's too small.
Yeah.
The butt is way too small.
But the problem is, Fatal Push cannot kill. You have to revolt.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I honestly have never understood why Fatal Push was so favored in Standard right now. There's not a ton of 2-drops.
Heart of Karan.
Is that a 2?
Yes.
Okay, but still, it's like... It's not as good as it is in Modern. Modern, no. It hits almost everything.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in Standard, it's like, I hit some things, so I've sort of fallen out of favor for it for Standard. It's always in the sideboard, but it's not like, hey, I need to main deck this thing, like everybody else is. Did you see this card?
I just did.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good.
So talk about it.
Alright. Lay Bare the Heart. 1 in black, sorcery. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-legendary, non-land card from it. That player discards that card. What do you think?
You'll see play in Standard.
Obviously.
I don't know if we'll see play in Limited. I'll have to see the rest of the set to make a...
I've never played discard cards.
Neither have I.
I've just never felt like it was worth my time.
I've had them set out for my sideboards and still decided not to side them in.
Like the only time I've ever had a discard card... is when it also did something else, like kill a creature.
like destroy a target creature or bounce a creature, they discard a card.
Yeah, two for ones.
Yeah. But it's never been like, oh, I wanted to like hit your hand a bunch.
Now, in M3 draft, the last one I did, my opponent hit my hand for like three or four cards and proceeded to beat me.
That's not real draft, though. That's like heat draft. It's more along the lines of it. It's the in-between a regular set and a cube.
Yeah.
That's what MM3 was. That's what all the master sets essentially are, is just this stepping stone in between cube and normal set draft.
Yeah. So, Drakehaven. Have you seen Drakehaven?
Oh, yeah.
Two in a blue, enchantment. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, you may pay one. If you do, create a 2/2 blue Drake creature token with flying. 3 mana, draw a card, make a Drake. I'm going to be picking that pretty high in limited. What about you?
Yeah, like, I feel like there's probably a deck where you just, like, pick that and all the cycle cards possible.
Yeah?
You just have those and all the cycle cards. Because the cycle cards still are what they are. It's not that you need to cycle them all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, there's, like, that white enchantment.
Cast out.
It has cycling for one white. It has flash. And it costs white and 3. It's an enchantment. And whenever cast out enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent an opponent controls until cast out leaves the battlefield. So it's a flash O-ring.
With cycling.
Yeah. I think that's really good.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some people who think, well, let's see play in standard.
I think it will.
I think it definitely will.
It's like, because people are probably comparing it to Stasis Snare. That did see play in standard, but it wasn't as good as people thought it was. But that's because Stasis Snare only hit creatures. This hits planeswalkers.
And vehicles.
Yeah. Which is nice. And if you really just need to draw that card, you just pay one white and you cycle it.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to talk about these five?
Oh, the 5 new dual lands.
Yay, lands! I love having rare land cycles in every set, so I had to spend all that money.
I was really hoping we weren't going to get a new cycle of lands.
Oh, yeah.
I was more hoping we would get the,
I gotta say, if in the next, like, if these are the only 5 in this set, and we don't get the enemies in the next set, I'm gonna be upset. So that means they're heavily pushing us to play ally color pairs.
What's wrong with that? We already have the enemy color fetch fast lands.
Yeah, but isn't like when rotation happens, we're gonna be stuck with only allied?
No, we have the right now. Battle for Zendikar has the allied pair battle lands.
Okay.
Then, Shadows has.
Battle for Zendikar also has the enemy man lands.
Oh yeah, the enemy man lands. But then, that will be gone. Those are the ones we're losing.
Shadows has allies.
Allied to colored. Kaladesh has enemy fast lands. And then this one will have the allied cycle lands.
Yeah. I guess this just means for a little while we can play 5 color good stuff with all the fixing.
No, I don't think you want to play 5 color good stuff.
Watch me.
I can see you doing it. I will not be touching it. I will be playing some combination of blue.
5 color good stuff has blue.
I'll be playing some kind of configuration with the blue god and torrential gear hulk.
I can play the blue god and 5 color good stuff.
Too bad you don't have cold guns commander. And torrential gear hulk.
What?
You abusing cold guns command.
I know, right?
Yeah. I don't want to touch on you doing that ever again.
Alright, so what do these do?
Well, they're basic land types. And they enter the battlefield tapped. And they cycle for 2 mana.
Seems decent.
I
don't like that they're a rare land that just always enters tapped.
But they cycle.
But that's not the point.
And they have the basic land types. So you can fetch them up in Modern and Legacy.
But what rare land cycle have we ever had that doesn't have a stipulation on them entering untapped? Can you think of any?
Not off the top of my head.
I'm not sure if this has ever happened. This feels like a major down power.
They cycle, though.
Couldn't they have made these uncommon, then?
If they were uncommon, they probably wouldn't have the basic land type.
I don't think so. Unless they're going to give us fetch lands as well. I'm not super excited about this.
So you want them to read, I'm a Forest Plains. You could cycle me for 2 mana.
Yeah.
And you could fetch me up and I'll come in untapped.
That or a check land. A check land with cycling and basic land types. I understand cycling is just there because of cycling is a thing in the set. Even if it was just a check land with basic land types, I'd be okay with it.
Which ones were the check lands?
Enters untapped if you control a...
Whatever, so, whatever?
Whatever, whatever, yeah. One of the two colors that... One of the basics for the two colors that it is. I would have been fine with that.
Yeah. Or you want functional reprints of the original duels?
Sure, why not?
The reserve list. So? We can't have them being screwing around with the reserve list.
Okay. And now we're going to enter our next... Is this a segue to our next topic? This segment is called JJ Jay Foster. This dude rants.
The reserve list. What is the problem with the reserve list? Hold on. Do you want to play Legacy?
Yes.
Do you want to be able to afford to play Legacy?
My bank account does.
Do you want to be able to play a Legacy GP without needing to run around dropping thousands of dollars to play?
Definitely.
Even though, where we live, we'll have to travel, which is another couple hundred thousand somewhere in there.
Then no.
So, you want to play Legacy. I highly enjoy Legacy. Do either of us have our duels?
No.
You're how old?
Not say.
Okay. So, I'm born early 90s, he's born somewhere in the mid-90s. Magic came out when?
93.
I was pooping my pants.
I think 93. Does that sound right?
93 or 94.
Yeah.
Besides the point, I was pooping my pants. He wasn't around yet. And these cards came out. When did you start playing Magic?
I'm 12.
And I started with Conflux. I didn't really get into the competitive scene of Magic until Zendikar was out. And at that point, I was just very competitive with Standard.
Well, there was no real other format other than Legacy, and nobody really played that.
Which is true, but I never looked at the other formats. I was
not sure you looked at EDH.
Barely. I had a very bad Ural the Miststalker deck. That was my first EDH deck. How am I supposed to be able to afford to play Legacy? How are you
winning the lottery and getting rich.
So I blow the money on being able to buy certain cards to play one format that I just happen to enjoy.
Yes.
Okay. So what's holding them back from getting rid of the reserve list?
The price of the cards dropping for the collectors.
Let's check this out here, man.
Just looking up cards and prices and things so we can talk more about Legacy.
Okay, so we're going to look at sets. This one. I'm going to pull up the prices of Tarmogoyf from its first printing to its most recent printing.
Oh, can we do Volcanic Island for what its price is like?
I'm really bad with computers.
Yeah, learn how to technology.
Okay, so let's expand. Expand it further than 12. January 20. Doesn't look like I can. Okay. So the all-time high was back in 2015 for Tarmogoyf at $219.69. And the all-time high of the new Goyf is $97.20. Goyf has now been reprinted. This is its fourth printing.
Yes.
To finally get the price under $100.
Yeah.
If we go to... You want Volcanic Island prices?
Sure.
Not the most expensive one.
But that's the one I want.
The revised version of it is $351.40.
Oh, look at that.
And that was last checked in... Oh, the all-time high was March of 2016. Its current price is $290.89. Its all-time low back in 2012 was $103.41. Unlimited, it's $414. And beta is $3,800. What is a reprint of Volcanic Island going to do to the card? If it's, say, an Eternal Masters 2.
It could do the Tarmogoyf.
Make the price go up?
Yeah.
The price will go up. If we go check Tarmogoyf from Modern Masters beside the current Tarmogoyf. Oops, I want Future Psychoif. Let's see. When did MM1 come out? Before Theros?
I don't remember. 2 years before Modern Masters 2.
So 2013. I think it was before RTR. Or was it after?
January. It July. Was after.
It came out in time with M14, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So at that point, its price, the Future Sight Goyf.
You can see the price right here. It does a huge spike. That's where it came out.
It was sitting at under $100 in RTR. When RTR came out.
That's also, I think, where the modern format was taking off.
It shoots up. Okay, we're at October 15th at $93. Then we head over to right before the spike, the big spike, $114 on June 3rd. And then it spikes on July 1st to $139.
Yes, I think that spot right before it spiked was when all the original Modern Masters had dried out.
Nope, on the release, a week after the release, June, a month after the release. So yeah, okay.
Modern Masters has dried out, everybody's opened their packs, and now some people have one or two Goyfs, and they need their four.
And it spikes up to $150.
Yep.
Well, just under. It doesn't actually hit $150
until... These are American pricings, right?
February 7th, 2014. Yes.
Yeah, so... Because Goyf has been normally about $250 Canadian around.
Yeah. So, let's see. It finally hit... $208 American, March 4th, 2015, which I think is right before the second reprint. Right now, it's at its all-time, it's at a low. The Modern Masters 1 is still over $100. I actually think Goyf's climbing.
Yeah?
I actually think Goyf's starting to climb back up already. Huh.
Anyway, so your point with all this?
What's it going to do to the original dual lands?
I don't know.
They reprint them as a mythic rare in Eternal Masters 2 because they're now going to abolish the reserve list. You can leave the Power 9 on there. I don't care if they get reprinted. They can stay away. But what's it ultimately going to do to the price of the cards? Are they going to drop for a while? Yes. Are a lot of the original cards damaged, destroyed, gone from existence? Yes. Are the ones that are not currently graded in cases? Yes, they're now sealed away, never to be able to be played again, so people can use them to make money off of them. I want to be able to play them. All I really care about is being able to play the game.
So why don't we just start with allowing there to be like an Expedition Duel?
Expedition Duel lands?
If we ever do land, but yeah.
I really don't... That will definitely not hurt the format. Well, definitely will not hurt the prices. The... Duels have never been in foil. If anything, the foil duel lands are going to be worth a lot more than the original duels, no matter how you look at it.
Well, it depends. Depends how much you care about foiling.
Usually foils are worth more, but also the vintage looking art and everything. Like, I'm saying new borders, which is obvious. New art, change the art completely, make them look like a completely different card. It will not touch the prices. But leave the Power 9 alone. Get rid of the reserve list, except for the Power 9. Let people play Legacy again.
Or why don't we just put more things on the reserved list and let it never have nothing get printed again?
So let's throw Force of Will on the reserve list?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Chase the Mind Sculptor?
Yeah.
Tarmogoyf. Throw Tarmogoyf on the reserve list.
Yeah, you know, I don't want my Goyfs to drop in price, so.
Are you selling them?
No.
Because I was going to offer you $20 for your playset.
Why $20?
Because I said so.
But.
Okay, I'll give you some basic lands.
But you'll probably end up giving me mountains.
Mountains are a very versatile land.
You know what we should put on the reserve list? Mountains.
Of course you want mountains on the reserve list.
No more basic mountains.
So they eventually rotate into standard?
Yes. And then nobody can play mono red.
Why do you hate red so much? Why? Because it goes faster than your control decks?
Yes.
Faster than your mid-range decks?
Yes.
Disrupts your combo by destroying the creatures?
Red doesn't destroy the creatures.
It burns your creatures.
Yeah, and they light on fire and it hurts.
I think you're starting to cry here a little bit.
I'm fine.
You don't sound fine. But we get rid of the reserve list so more people can have access to a format. Or axe the formats completely, don't cover vintage, don't cover legacy. Also, we have the commander. Commander in EDH.
1 second. What would really hurt the price is axing the format.
Yeah.
If they straight up said, these formats are no longer legal viable for your FNMs or anything, they are no longer formats, vintage and legacy, all of a sudden you'll see the stuff on the reserve list just tank.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants them anymore because there's no format to play them in.
The problem is Commander still will hold the prices up.
It won't hold it up enough. They will drop. Because you only need one ofs for that.
Okay. So you're saying that keeping Legacy and Vintage around is keeping the prices up?
Yeah.
So do you think Legacy stepping back from doing... Sorry, Star City backing away from doing Legacy events is an attempt to drop the prices so they can pick up more than pick up the format again?
I don't know. I thought it was because people just weren't showing up because there was times where Legacy didn't even fire.
I thought all the opens fired, just the side ones didn't fire.
No, I think there was like a few weeks ago there was one event that did not fire. I think it was like location based though. In different areas you have different types of players that play different formats.
And it always depends on who comes out to the big ones.
Yeah.
And who doesn't make the second day.
Yeah.
Which is a whole problem with the Star City Games series to begin with.
Except for don't you qualify for the Pro Tour off those now?
You can now, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just glorified PPT. You have to win the Invitational.
Oh, okay.
They're glorified PPTQs. You have to have enough points to qualify for the Invitational, and then win the Invitational to be qualified for the Pro Tour.
Okay. But they also offer a huge prize for that anyway, so...
Oh, yeah. Having the Pro Tour invite there is just icing on the cake.
Yeah. I think it's just to get more people out to play in their open.
It was... I think it was more from Wizards... trying to streamline the Star City Games Open Series with the regular competitive Magic because a lot of the pros were just using Star City Games Open and winning the Invitational basic more than trying to get on the Pro Tour.
But is there really a need for the Pro Tour anyway?
Depending on how you look at the game.
Like, think of it this way. Like, so, Pro Tour, let's be honest, it's supposed to be an ad for the new set. Right? That's why they don't want to do Modern, because you're not getting enough of the new cards in there. Correct?
Yeah.
So, anybody who will watch your Pro Tour already knows how to play Magic and is probably going to buy your set anyway. They don't care.
But the
They're already invested in Magic, so why do you need to have a Pro Tour? You're not picking up any new people. People don't go onto Twitch, never have played Magic the Gathering before, watch a stream and go, oh yeah, I understand what's going on here. This is cool.
The Pro Tour is something to aspire to. It's to keep already gathered players into playing. Why they're using it as a way to advertise a new set, I disagree with it.
That's always what it's been.
Yes, but I disagree with that aspect of it. If they want Magic to be a competitive game, and with the amount of Grand Prix, Pro Tours... just all the amount of events they have these days. Why are you trying to advertise something to people that already know about it? You go on Magic Online, what's the first thing you see?
That's why I'm saying there's no point for them to even have the Pro Tour. They should just have GPs where you build up enough points and wins. So you have to win a GP and you build up enough points, then you get invited to Worlds.
But that just makes Worlds a one big event at the end of the year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's compare it to other sports. Hockey. You play all these games to make it to the playoffs to win the Stanley Cup for the one event once a year.
Their whole season is one event.
No.
And everyone has an equal shot at making it.
Yeah, same with the GP. Everybody can take their...
Well, everyone has an equal shot winning a GP.
Yeah.
But my point is, you win Worlds last year, you're invited to this year. You're the Rookie of the Year this year, you get invited to Worlds this year. You're the Player of the Year this year, you get invited to Worlds this year.
Okay.
If we live near Toronto, I'm going to use Toronto. Toronto wins the Stanley Cup this year. They're not automatically in the Stanley Cup playoffs next year.
Okay.
That's the problem with it. The way they have Worlds set up on top of it is, congratulations, you did well last year. You don't have to play now for a year. Good luck at Worlds next year, because you won Worlds last year.
All I'm saying is they don't need the Pro Tour. They don't need it. It's a not needed thing. Like, they already have the issue with people are figuring out what the best decks are. Like, you come down to the standard format where everybody goes, it's quote-unquote stale because of the Pro Tour. Everybody's already worked out what's good, what's not, and it's already given the people a head start onto what the good cards are and what aren't the good cards and what the good decks are, because everybody just starts playing the Pro Tour decks, and then you might see one or two other decks take over and a couple of the Pro Tour decks drop off.
Well, if they want to do the Pro Tour now, okay, with the way they do blocks, two sets per block, why not do something like the Pro Tour, but not the Pro Tour, at the end of every block? So every 6 months, we have a Pro Tour instead of every 3 months. And the only time there is a pro event, Worlds, at the end of the year after the fall set has come out.
So beginning of December type thing?
After rotation, you have a new standard format with the rotation. You haven't had as many Pro Tours. It would be a fresh format.
It's just people get bored with standard too easily.
Or so frustrated with it because they ban and then don't unban.
Oh, I'm sorry. That last banning was only because people complained.
Yeah.
People complained about the quick rotations before they even let it settle in and become normal.
And now people are not.
And then they backtracked. And because they backtracked, they had to ban all these cards because they weren't meant to be played together.
Smuggler's Copter and Emrakul weren't meant to be played together.
Okay, but
when it was Battle that was supposed to be rotating?
But it's the cards from Battle that are fueling these to be as good as they were.
What, the duels? What other cards are... What cards from Battle fueled Emrakul?
Fueled Emrakul?
The Delirium deck had Grimflare, Liliana, Traverse. You're going to say Pilgrim's Eye helped fuel it? It helped, but it's the only one from Battle. How powerful is Battle to begin with?
Gideon.
Okay. Gideon wasn't in the Emrakul deck. Gideon powers the Vehicle deck.
We may have gotten an Emrakul ban.
The Emrakul ban is because Emrakul taking your opponent's turn was too powerful.
It wasn't too powerful. It was too long.
Oh, no. It was too long.
It was because the Sensei's Divining Top thing.
Okay. Sensei's Divining Top is still in Legacy.
Yeah, Wizards doesn't care about Legacy.
Okay, yeah, we have established Wizards doesn't care about Legacy, which is why we're not getting Reserve List being abolished, but they're going to keep Legacy around to keep the Reserve List card prices higher. But, it's the Doomsday scenario, or the Four Horsemen deck, whatever deck that they banned because it took too long before. And people are complaining about Sensei Divining Top. Do you know who doesn't complain about Sensei Divining Top? Players who lose to players who know how to play Sensei's Divining Top. And players who aren't using it to stall the clock.
I just top every chance I get. I don't care.
Even if you know what's on top?
Yep. People hate me in EDH. They blow up my top right away.
See, you're why people hate Sensei's Divining Top.
I only do that in EDH.
When I'm playing Miracles and Legacy, the only time I'll top twice is if I have a brain fart and I forget what was on top. if no other information has changed from the time I topped to the time I'm about to draw a card, I don't care. I'm just going to top. And then I'm going to draw my card. And it's going to be a Terminus. And I'm going to wipe the board.
You're saying that the top three cards of your deck always has a Terminus, even after you played four?
No. But every time I'm looking for Retreat of the Angels, I find a Terminus. And I bash my head off the table.
But, you know, that just means you have to wait longer.
Wait longer for what?
Till you find it. You just play out the game.
Yeah, what? Until you have a fetch land, what changes? You draw the card, now you have access to one more card. One more card scene. The only time it gets really slow is when you have counterbalance in play.
I love having counterbalance.
And you're just looking at the top couple cards, going, okay, what's this, what's this, what's this?
I don't know why you hate that deck so much. It's like the best deck.
It's a fun deck to play. It's the format we play in. But I think I finally found a way to be able to play it in the format we play.
Oh, yeah?
I found a new card that I really want to try out.
Well, what's that?
I'm not telling you.
Why?
Because it's going to be funny.
Oh, is it Blood Moon?
Blood Moon was already in the deck.
Oh.
I'm going a completely different route. But I'm still keeping Blood Moon in the deck.
Is it five color good stuff?
I'm playing Jeskai Miracles. It's a commander card I found while searching through deck lists. It's going to be funny, and I'm hoping I get told off for playing it. Because it's a, and I quote, bad card. What? End quote. It costs 4 mana in Legacy. It must be a bad card. It's not Jace.
What costs 4 mana? I was going to say Vandal Blast, but...
No, this one deals with land. I don't think it's going to affect you as much as it affects the other players at the store. The players who have put so much time and money into having their perfect dual land mana bases.
What card?
Well, let's just say Delver won't have lands in play after I cast this card.
Are you hating on blue like that?
The red-white Eldrazi deck that shows up once in a while? That one
anyway, we're moving. We're going to have to move on from here.
Okay.
We're ranting about things that probably shouldn't be talking about.
He got me started and didn't realize what happens when I get started.
Yeah. So that was a really long rant that we had about Legacy and how expensive it is.
Abolish the reserve list.
But, you know, it's not expensive once you get into it. That's what I'm always told. Once you have that initial investment, it will never cost you that much.
But the return on it sucks.
Yeah, because, what, we play maybe one Legacy a month?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And it's for score credit that doesn't match anything that I put into the game?
Yeah. Alrighty. So, do you have any end thoughts? What's going on with you?
Gonna be starting doing YouTube videos.
Okay.
Cracking booster packs. Cracking another product. Cool. I might branch out of Magic and do some Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And any other TCG that I might care about.
You should do Hearthstone pack openings.
I could if I get Hearthstone to work on my laptop. I miss playing Hearthstone. I played that a lot. Hell, I'm gonna try to download it right now.
Alright. And me, I've just been playing the Switch a bunch.
So nothing new from last week?
Hey. The Switch is amazing. I should say Legend of Zelda is amazing. I'm not sure about the Switch yet. I know the Legend of Zelda game is actually really fun. So, that's... Yeah. Anyway. So... And we have some end spiel here.
We are brought to you by the support of Moe's Magic. Check out their online store at www.moesmagic.com. Or if you're in the Orangeville, Ontario area, check out the shop. It's a great store with a good, friendly feel.
Hey, and if you want to reach us, you can tweet at MTGTalkOfficial. Or if you have any complaints, tweet at FosterTCG.
It's Foster_TCG.
Okay, Foster_TCG. If that's only if you want to complain. I only want to hear the good things.
I'll also take some good stuff.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
And if what you want to see opened on YouTube, let me know and I'll see what I can do for you.
All right. And with that has been our episode.
I'm Snick.
And I'm Foster.
And have a good one. Red Sox, Blue Rocks.